Okay, welcome everybody to the Configuration and Persistency Service July 10th team meeting. So we're just getting going here. And today we're going to be talking about some of the logistics stuff in R7 to make sure everybody's on the same page there. Tony proposed a topic on the way of working, and we'll continue our discussions on the POC architecture options. And are there any other agenda items we want to add? Okay, so let me just show you the release dashboard here. So yesterday, so I was on the TSC yesterday, and they were going over the component views per component. Let me see. And was there an open point for CMPS? I think one thing was the JIRA ticket. Let me see. So I think there might be some confusion about who's doing what. You remember, Tony, we had some emails going back and forth with, I think, was it Swami or Sandeep? Swami, yeah. Or Sandeep. And I think the test-only stuff I'm not so worried about, but the actual code development happening. Did we have a solid commitment here from, I don't know that that email got resolved. Did that chain get resolved?
I think it was, they would do the stuff that was required for their use case, but they weren't going to do any platform development. So I think, you know, it's a little bit ambiguous in terms of how it was phrased.
Right.
I mean, we could go back and say, will you?
Yeah.
Tuan has taken a look at this. He can speak. He's added something to the issues page.
Okay.
On this one, in terms of what would be required, what changes would be required.
Give me one second. Let me find.
It allows to ask a very specific question of them.
Yeah.
I'm looking to see if I can find that email as well.
Yes. Let me see. I don't think it got resolved, actually. Now that memory serves, I think we had gone back and forth, and the one thing I recall is that they were gonna analyze the impact on network slicing. So here's the email. So basically. Let me pull up the, actually, let's get everybody on the same page first. So in one of the meetings we had, talked about the people on the, who are on the call. I don't remember who's on the call, but, I think it was a really important point just to get from a terminology standpoint, all of us on the same page, at least everybody here on this team. We need to deconfuse ourselves when we refer to CMPS, right? So I think we talked about CMPS 1.0. When people say when we say CMPS, at least in this team, and we can get other people that we bump into aligned as well, CMPS 1.0 should mean the R6 stuff that was done, which was essentially the evolution of the Sonov PCI config DB, that original solution that resides in CCSDK and SDNC. And I've coded that in red, okay? So what's a little confusing is that in R7, CMPS kind of means two things. Which you know, it's the whole effort of all of CMPS, right? So CMPS 1.1 is the model-driven POC, which is really kind of the groundwork, the software, the basis of what will become the project, right? So I've coded that in blue. But it also, we can't just drop what we've done here. We have to continue to support that, right? So CMPS 1.1 also means extending this software to be able to support the R7 use cases that need that original ConfigDB, that one CMPS 1.0 solution, right? And there's four main things in R7 that are going on that we need to make sure we don't drop the ball on, right? I'm not too worried about SunOS PCI just because it started with that, right? So that hopefully they're very familiar with this solution and can extend it with what they need. I'm kind of worried about the biggest hole, I think, is probably end-to-end network slicing. So end-to-end network slicing is a team that's depending on this CMPS 1.1. And we need to make sure we don't drop the ball on that. The A1 policy extension, actually, I don't know. I assume that Michaela and others working on this have this under control, but I'm not sure. Is it a blue thing? Is it a red thing? I'm not sure. And the state management POC from Bell Canada and Bruno, I'm also not entirely sure. Are you planning to use the extensions? Are you completely self-contained? Are you planning to integrate into this during R7 or later? So it would be good for me to understand these two bullets as well. Then there's the model. Let me not get ahead of myself. So there's the model-driven POC, which is going to implement some basic fundamental CMPS stuff, writing, reading, access control. And then in Honolulu, we're looking at what we're going to call CMPS 2.0, which is the standalone project. We'll go to the TSC and propose the project again, decommission 1.0 and 1.1. And this might not happen immediately, but eventually decommission that. And then, you know, do everything we need to set up the new project. And then have more functionality. Is everybody clear on that?
Yeah, maybe deprecate rather than decommission would be a good term to use.
I like
short
that.
Term.
Okay. Sure.
And I guess your contextualization of the colors is the red to indicate things that are covered by resourcing, or what's your
red is just red means that things are related to the extension of this original solution.
Oh, okay. I see what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah. And blue is like blue are things related to, you know, essentially the POC is going to evolve into the CMPS project, right? So let me see if I can kind of tie these two things together a little bit here. So, and that's good that you asked that, because any question will help us make this slide better. So essentially it's
legend,
saying
that, actually.
Sorry?
A legend might help.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's a great idea. Let me add that in. I'll add that in after the meeting though. So I'll put in a legend there. I think that's a really good idea. Okay. Any other questions? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. No, I don't know if I can start with the state management from Bell Canada to clarify this one. Yeah.
Yes.
So this one, based on what you say, yeah, it can be turned in blue because it's not an extension of existing one. It's a standalone by itself.
Okay.
And also, I would move it, and it's more related to the model-driven talk. I think we already started, but it can be linked, or because it will help for the reflection on this. So
maybe I put it as its own thing. I'll put it as its own,
but more it could be related, like move like this and
mm-hmm. Okay, good. Very
I
good.
Don't know if it's more clear for this one. Yeah.
Okay. Great. Yeah, that helps a lot. So the A1 policy extension, does it plan to use this evolution of CCSDK, or is it going to use the new solution, the POC solution, or I don't know what do we have an idea?
I think we can probably find out quite easily.
Okay. Okay. All right. Fair enough. So just come back to me on that, and I'll update the diagram. So I do have this diagram also in our project page, and I'll update it there again. From today's discussion. Okay, so I think this email, we need to be clear what's happening here. So that leaves essentially the end-to-end network slicing support, right? And here Swami has chimed in with an email. For the network slicing use case and for RAN slicing, we're going to need a minimal set of information elements for the initial RAN configuration and network slice subnet specific configuration. So basically saying this is what we need to store in the CMPS database. Okay. Our current proposal is to extend the R6 work, which is here, right? And once CMPS eventually takes off as an official project in Honolulu, then the work can be taken over into CMPS. It's not completely clear, but it's implied that Swami is going to do that work, right?
Agreed.
So it says, I mean, our current proposal, meaning I guess Swami's current proposal, is that their Swami is going to extend the ConfigDB with what network slicing needs to do. And Joanne questioned that. She said, I'm not so sure that's exactly what that means. So Joanne, do you want to, are you still concerned? Is Joanne on the call?
Yeah, I'm on the call. I think you probably need to confirm with the Swami if he will use the CNPS as a slicing. And we need to confirm for this, yeah.
Okay, I'm just gonna add some of our regulars here who let me just see who's on the call here. In fact, I'm gonna add everybody on the call, just maybe not overwhelm the thing here. Let's see, Fred, Samuli.
Other Samuli.
Yeah, do I have a, maybe you don't have.
You need to add me in the Armenia. Oh no.
Yeah, I don't have, what's Samuli, what's your email address?
It's Ericsson, partner, samsung.com.
It's not just here at samsung.com. Is that right? No.
S.Silvius.
Oh, okay. Like this? Your last name or?
Last name, Silvius.
Okay, got it, okay.
And then you put a partner.
Include me too, Ben.
Yeah, I will, yeah. Partner, did you say partner?
Partner.samsung.com, yeah.
Partner, okay, great, like that. Oh, you're already here, yeah. I just didn't find you. Because it didn't source that way. Okay. Who else do we? Did I miss anybody? Oh, Zoo. Okay. I think I got everybody. Okay. CMPS network slicing resourcing is the topic. And
I think it's a.
Yeah.
The Swami may ask to confirm because he say in the interim because for the CNPS become stable, right? Mm-hmm. And they may want to do that their own thing, but I just confirm with him on this.
M1. Let me just say because for M1. We need to know, we need to confirm that you will be developing what you mentioned. Here. So this is the development work. And this is who is doing it. So when you say our current proposal, this reads to us, the team, that you are going to be doing this. Yeah, you're going to be writing this code. And we need to make sure also this is reflected in this JIRA ticket. Need to also make sure. Sorry, QJIRA. 322 is up to date to reflect this software development. Okay. Is this your understanding? Can you confirm? Thanks. All right. Okay. Does this look good, everybody? Yes, John, Tony, everybody?
Yep, that's good for me.
Yeah,
okay, good, right. Okay, sorry to take some time on this, but I think this is something that's logistically we need to get done for M1, but for R7. Okay, any other, before we move on to our other topics, is there anything super urgent? Otherwise, we're going to move on to our next topic. Where is here? Move it over to editing. Okay. All right. So I think, Tony, you want to talk about the way of working or next?
Yeah.
Do you want to share something or?
I can share something. I just need to move stuff around so I don't get confused. I'll probably get confused anyway when I start sharing the screen.
Sorry, I didn't mean to put you on the spot there. So otherwise, I think we're in pretty good shape. We just need to make sure 322 is up to date. And I think on the M1 call yesterday, they were going over some of the open points, which there's a few open points on some of the use cases. But
can people see my screen?
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay, last week I introduced two pages, the high-level design proof of concept, the high level of design for the proof of concept, and this page, the issues, decisions, and assumptions. And I want to use the issues, decisions, and assumptions as a means for us to navigate the different issues, to document what those issues are, to document the discussions that happen with those issues, and to break them down into discrete things that we can take one at a time and actually deal with in meetings and put them on the agenda when they're ready to be discuss them, make a decision and complete and move on. So we don't have to revisit them. And then I can take those decisions and incorporate them into the high level design for the proof of concept, which is my main task for this month, is to try and get this high level design done. Now, there's two ways that I can do this. I can go off and work away on my own and then present a complete page for the high level design with the design as a fait accompli in a couple of weeks, and then we can have a big meeting and discuss it. And this is my preference, that we actually collaborate in the community where we talk about issues individually. And we have quite a few issues already that are listed on this issues page because I like this way of working. We come up with a brief idea that we have a problem or an issue that needs to be raised. And this is the very first one that we looked at, was how do we integrate the current and historical and temporal and time series databases? How do we manage all of this with one CPS? So how do we integrate these things? That was one issue. Something that Tuan has added was the backward compatibility that we would have with the existing, the CPS 1.0 and 1.1. How do we handle backward compatibility with CPS 2.0? It's a page that we need to discuss and agree what the story is, how we exactly want to handle that. But I want to take each of these pages in isolation and go through them and to discuss just those topics. If we want to add more topics, then please feel free to do so. So the last week, Joanne asked two questions around how do we get flows into the system and how do we upgrade models? So we've added pages for these two things, and I've started the analysis or the discussion on how do you get flows into the system. And you can see I've just drawn some pictures, but I have no text around it. This is not yet ready for an informed discussion. I've started some text, but it's not possible for someone to read without me describing what every box means at the moment, and that's not sufficient. So as a way of working, can we agree that this is how we should spend some of the Friday afternoon meetings, some of these Friday meetings, to add issues offline, to populate issues with discussion and text and pictures that help elucidate what are the options. And then in this meeting, we quickly go through those pages as quickly as we can. And then when we're ready for discussion, go through those pages and come up with the decision, and then we record the decision. Is this a reasonable way of working for everybody? Is it clear?
It sounds good to me, and it's clear to me.
Okay. Joanne, are you okay
with this? Yeah, good. Sounds good.
Okay, good. That's what I wanted to put on the agenda. I guess one other thing, and now I'm jumping because I would like people to take a look at this scope page on the high level design. It's the very first thing. So I would like people to look at this text and see, is it in line with your thinking for the POC, or is it something that we need to adapt? Because this is what I expect the proof of concept to do in the OR7 timeframe, in the Guilin timeframe. So I hope you can read the text. I hope it's big enough. If not, I can put the page in the chat.
So this is your sort of vision charter?
Yes, it's the scope. I just want to try and set, so we have a common understanding within this forum as to what it is that we're going to achieve or what we're aiming to achieve. And we've got a base scope, and then we have a stretch target, things that if we get through this quickly, then we'll start chipping away at this stuff. And I'm not wedded to this. We may see, for example, that we want to move the change emissions up into the base scope. And I'm totally fine with that. I just like to have an agreement in this forum with respect to that. Okay.
One comment or question, actually. So earlier you shared some design where was also PMFM was part of this whole design, even if it was not never part of this configuration persistent service. But is that PMFM still part of this or not? Or I guess this is limited, this POC, but still, is there going to be any APIs or anything?
Okay, I can answer that question. It is a good question. And the answer is not explicitly. So unless the Yang model that we select covers that. Because the CPS won't care whether the data that is stored is related to a configuration model from an XNF or a PM model for an XNF or FM alarm data. It simply won't care. It'll do what it's told. If the data is described by a Yang model and it has been given a Yang model, then it will allow you to store and retrieve data compliant to that Yang model. So in general, the answer is yes, that type of data will be supported. But in the POC and our selection of this Yang model, and we're working on that right now, we have, Tuan has dug up the Yang model that was used for the FON use case to date, I think that's what it looks like anyway. And that was suggested, and it looks like a reasonable candidate for a Yang model to start with. But that...
Some use case, they have a PM measurements and also alarms there, I think, coming from the elements, so...
Yeah, but again, this is a proof of concept to show that we can do this in a model-driven way. And that is my primary goal, is first and foremost, to show that we can take a Yang model, bring it into the CPS, and then store data and read data that is compliant to that Yang model. That's
Tony,
the core. Yeah. Go ahead.
I just want to add, I think the model that I found so far is only for the notifications. It's not for the base data, I think. So we still haven't quite got the model we want, but that's just on the side.
Okay,
note.
Thank you. Yeah.
So yeah, Tony, good.
Yeah. The model for CM basically only.
For CM notifications is what we've identified so far, but we haven't finished this task. It's not checked off. We do have to figure out exactly what model we're going to use in the proof of concept. That's a piece of work that needs to be done, and it is part of the scope. But Samuli, to answer your question, we aim to be able to store any data that is compliant to a Yang model. And our primary concern right now, the models that we will be focusing on as part of the proof of concept, will be CM models. Because we're looking at the CM data, that's we don't want to look like we're trying to take over the world at all. So we're attempting to create a generic configuration and persistency service, but our primary goal is to do that in the context of CM data. This is not going to exclude any other data from being stored here. Does that answer your question, Samuli?
Yeah, okay, somehow.
Okay.
But that CM data that's affiliated with the slice could be quite prolific. I mean, it could be quite a lot of information about, you know, targets for SLA and parameters for the slice itself and the actual given RAN parameters pertaining.
Yeah, Fred, you're absolutely correct. And again, what we're trying to make sure is that if you can represent the CM data from an XNF, I described it using Yang, then we should be able to store it.
Yeah, absolutely. But we have to identify what those are, and in addition, is there a solution out there that today that's mature enough to be able to support a RAN slice, which is the most difficult part of a slice to implement. So, and I'm assuming that we can or mock it up, but yeah, that there are some challenges with this target in terms of the realities of what's available today. But I think that's a good thing to show, because I think this would really be showing a lot of thought leadership in the work that's being done. I'm just saying it is an aggressive agenda, but I welcome the work. I think it's great.
Okay. That's good. So I think we'll get some kind of a consensus here, but I'll maybe shut up and let people read so they can ask any other questions just for a minute. So if I'd be quiet for a moment.
Well, just like when there are changes, maybe they're induced by SON, I'm talking about stretch target bullet one, change notification emissions. I'm assuming that there's some kind of a trigger in lifecycle management, which will show what was changed, when it was changed, where it was changed from, and that's what you're covering there, and make obviating that record when it occurs. Is that what the point is of the first bullet?
The point of the first bullet is for the CPS to tell interested parties that data has changed. But to do that in a way that it only does this for parts of the data set that it has that people are interested or registered an interest in seeing the changes. That's what I meant here. Maybe I can be more clear on that.
So basically it's, you know, the configuration deltas obviating them on some display that and there's some kind of a policy that there's a bunch of things that can change and we're tracking them, but we're only going to show these because they're of interest. Correct. To the demo. Yeah. All right. And the interaction with the temporal data store, that's like the machinery behind how we're recording those changes that we're displaying in the first bullets, I assume.
Yes.
There's other things too, besides the temporal database that go into that.
Yes, that was one example.
Right.
Yeah, that was just one, because I mean, we have it as one of the issues that needs to be resolved. And I think we have resolved this, but we've had a lot of discussion about database technology, so I just wanted to ratify that again.
Okay, and when you say violate data read through state data, I don't know what that
volatile means. Sorry, I'll make
I'm sorry, I'm sorry, not volatile, violate, volatile. So
this is information that changes incredibly frequently. So some people call it state data, some people call it CM data, but there are certain attributes on an XNF that will change with very high frequency. And that puts an undue load on something like the CPS. We've experienced this in the past, where nobody would ever get a chance to read it because it's being updated multiple times.
So when data is being updated a lot, what's helpful is like a histogram, right? And that shows like kind of a distribution and its ranges, right? And first of all, I would say prolific, not volatile, because volatile could mean other things. So this is like high density data. So maybe like e.g. histogram display, where it can track it, because nobody's eyes can track numbers that are changing in real time on the millisecond level, but they can understand a distribution of how these change. So I would say prolific and say e.g. histogram of state data or something like that. And then say histogram of state data. And then model delivered using existing onboarding way. Yeah, if you could just clarify. I think I know what you're saying with model delivered, but maybe just a little more details on what you mean by model delivered. So I know we're trying to use the SDC as a vehicle for entering the components of this that we're going to be showcasing, but you know, model delivered needs a little bit more. Yeah.
How's that?
Sure.
Okay.
And what does CPS stand for again?
Configuration and Persistency Service.
Okay. And by the last one, are you saying you want to collect some kind of screenshot views of what would be shown and how?
No, this is some of the questions that we had from the TSC were around characteristics. And our answer to that was, yes, we appreciate that this is an unknown. So one of the outcomes of the proof of concept would be that we begin to test the number of objects that we can put into the database and how fast we can continue to retrieve them. To do some basic characteristics testing, how many concurrent users of the CPS will we be able to have, stuff like that. It's very, very early at this stage. We haven't defined it, but that's why it's
a good thing. Okay, so you're not talking about the kind of data that's being stored in the CPS. You're talking about how it's going to be accessed.
I am talking about...
All right, so maybe supply some indication of access characteristics or user access characteristics then maybe.
Okay, dimensioning and user dimensions.
Yeah, I wasn't part of that discussion, so I'm talking... And maybe that's a good thing, right? Because you guys understand what you're talking about, but if you want to show this to somebody looking at it for the first time, they're not going to follow. So maybe that's a good thing.
Exactly, and that's why I want to go through the way of working that I'm talking about, so that we can.
Right. Otherwise, everybody's hallucinating the answer, and nobody else is seeing the hallucination. Right.
Correct.
I like the way you put that. That's good.
That's what it amounts to. Basically.
Yeah. No, that's a good choice of words.
Yeah, I'd like us all to have the same hallucination.
Yes, I would agree.
All right.
Without taking any supplements.
Yeah, right.
All right, back to reality. Proof points.
So I'm okay with moving some of these stretch targets up to the base scope, but I suspect they're okay where they are because they may happen naturally anyway, and it depends on how much community engagement and resources we have. So I tried to cut the base scope to something that we could definitely achieve, that I think we can definitely achieve. Certainly, I think we need to achieve the very base scope. And then the stretch target, if we get more resources or we do very well on the base scope, then these things will start to come in. And I haven't prioritized them. And then I displayed the proof points in terms of how we would actually demonstrate that we did some of the things in the base and target scope. or stretch scope. And then I also specifically am out of scoping something.
Right.
Because that's just, we know how to do it. By doing it, we won't prove anything.
Yeah. My other comment is, I think you know, the devil's in the details, right? We have to put in our assumptions beyond just, you know, what's in scope and out of scope as to what are the components that we're going to help us to show this scope at some point, maybe not here, but
and this is literally the very first chapter of
what great so can we talk about creating other sections then, like assumptions?
Before we go there,
Could I just show real quick something that might help before we go to that? So I really like what you did. And what I did was I kind of created, as I was reading your page, I created a new slide here on the POC. So basically, here we have the things in purple, the things we're doing. And I think what might be good is if we, from what I observed, some of our meanderings last week, let's say, and which caused some frustrations with some people.
My apologies.
No. I think to alleviate that, I think what would help is people naturally just want to start asking about everything. And I think what would help is if in that issues page, you tie those issues to specific, one of these five specific things. So then you can say, look, we're just talking about point one here, and let's explore area one. Area one is restricted to just the CSAR package, the model stuff, and blah, blah, blah. So I think it helps limit the discussion so you don't get questions all over the place. Secondly, what I did was I created these little boxes mirroring what you want on the page we just saw. So for example, you said for the time stuff, it's a stretch goal for A&I. You said that synchronization is sort of a stretch goal, using a fixed whatever. So I think this, a picture will also help too. And if this looks okay to you, I'll just add it to the top of that page, and you know, you can I'll upload the slides. You can edit it too if you want.
This looks helpful. Yes,
I think a visual view will help. As Fred is mentioning, you know, sometimes a block of text, people's eyes kind of bleary out. It'll help sometimes to see the bigger picture in a picture. So
is the base scope means that it's already independent, so it's not tied with the SDNR.
So yeah, right. So, I mean, this is what Tony is calling this base scope, right? So, basically, you're going to be able to select a Yang model in design time in SDC. You're going to be able to take that and deploy that model. And very fundamentally, you're going to be able to read and write, read and write data. And Tony, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it kind of sort of fits here. And then this whole thing relating to the time series stuff is a stretch goal, as is the ANI interface or dynamic, you know, synchronization stuff. Does that look great to you, Tony? Should I add anything else, or are you?
Everything with the exception of the base scope on FPC.
Here.
I wasn't going to do that. I was excluding it from scope. I was going to do some kind of a post method the POC.
I think this is
just doable for where we parse the CSAR that's published by SDC, because we won't actually do anything. We have no impact on SDC.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We will listen to notification. So I didn't think there was anything we were going to prove or learn by doing that.
Yeah.
But if people feel that from a demonstration purpose that's important, then we should push it up into the base scope.
So I think that was where you and I had a discussion, Tony, and I was trying to convince you it was a good idea to look at it from the stretch goals, at least, just from the purposes of showing how it fits into the broader picture. But
right, and I think if we take this diagram I can just edit in now
please feel free, Ben.
Doesn't like this thing here. Hold on one sec. Okay, and of course we can always edit it later, but let me just see what. Okay. I think what will help is if we just sort of plop this diagram into here.
And then add a column to say which.
And then actually you might even be able to just say, instead of the topic number, just say, you know, it relates to whatever, you know, you know, like instead of, you know, the number isn't that meaningful. You just say it's relating to area of, you know, instead of number, like topic area or something, whatever you want to choose. And then you can use letters instead of numbers if you want or whatever. Again, I'll upload the slide so you can edit if you want. Okay. That was just my one thought contribution to this whole thing. So I think to make things smoother, carry on.
Okay. So carry on. That means I get to share again.
Yeah.
Let's go back to that screen. Share. So from a scope perspective, I think we're all clear. I mean, if people want to send emails or modify this page or comment this page, then please do so. I don't mind how we interact, as long as we do interact. And we can ratify it maybe next week, because I don't want to land people cold and say, you know, it's done, I'm freezing this now. And now going back to Fred's comment on what the issues and the assumptions are. So this page you just saw, Ben, update. But at the bottom of this page, we have a list of assumptions. And this is where I'm trying to capture these things. So again, I'm hoping that there's going to be a lot of comments and interaction on this page. So please feel free to comment in line, comment at the end, or collaborate or add to some of these pages. So the interface style, we're getting into pseudo Java code, and this is the level that I want to stop at, because I think the POC execution team, Tuan and others, will actually take this and flesh it out in real code. But I just want to make sure that we do understand style and behaviors and things like that at a high level, so that we can get the consumers of CPS, the controllers, the PTLs from the controllers, the MER use case, the people who are going to be using the CPS, to understand what kind of an interface we're hoping to provide and make sure that it's okay with them.
So Tony?
Yep.
As we discussed earlier, I have a lot of thoughts about this issue. I don't know if we're talking about it now or just a proposal to talk about it later.
On which issue?
Interface style and data representation and things like that.
Excellent. We do. And I want to put them on the agenda, both of those, as far as I'm concerned, interface style and data representation, we are ready to discuss. We have 13 minutes left in today's meeting. I really needed to get the way of working squared away so that we, when we're talking about interface style, we stay on interface style until we're done with it.
I just don't want to interrupt the flow if other things are being discussed.
No, not everything, but look, I've covered the scope, I've covered the way of working. I feel I've monopolized half the meeting. I do want to take these on a regular basis, so I leave it up to this team as to what we do next.
So, Tony, just one thing, right? The one you have will get the YAN model, basically the basic model, a model you will get to say, manually enter the, you know, CNPS, right? The stretch goal will be come by the model, come from SDC post to the DMAP. And that's fine, but you actually just keep in mind, this is like a static data, right? The CNPS, the key for the CNPS, you need to have a dynamic. So most of the model will come from SDNC controller through the Netcon YAN from SDNC put into the CNPS, as you know too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
talking about this flow where we retrieve, the controller retrieves the model and adds it directly to the CNPS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this
okay,
is
yes,
you,
I'm,
go ahead.
This is, you'll have to, I interrupted you, apologies.
So this is this flow, right? It's in your basic scope or stress scope or wires. I didn't see this pair.
Okay, so the basic scope is that we're able to add a model to the CNPS. Because I want
manually, I think you have to clarify that, Tony.
Yes, manually using some kind of a Postman interface. So there will be a REST endpoint that will allow. Thank you, Tuan. That will allow the ability to add a model to the CNPS.
But I think then, Tony.
Yeah.
Sorry, just I mean my view on this, and I could be completely off the ball here, but my view on it is that we're doing a contract-driven development approach here. And that ingest of models into the CPS can come from any interested party. And two examples are models that come via SDC and models that come from controllers. And we don't, we shouldn't, the pattern should be the same. Am I wrong?
Yeah.
That is my take on it as well, exactly.
Concept,
I was just going to do it manually.
And as you, I think you alluded to it earlier, what the point about the proof of concept really is to try and address the things that we're not quite sure or we need to prove a point on, as opposed to, I think this model ingest is an interesting and important topic that we need to consider. But I think it's probably not, you know, I think it's a well understood pattern, I would hope.
Yes. But what is probably important to prove is that when we do bring a new model in, whether we're bringing it manually or that we do not have to tear down the CPS containers, that we have no life cycle on the CPS container, that there's no restart or AB or reconfiguration of the CPS in order to support a new Yang model.
Exactly. And as that's
the thing that we need to prove.
Yeah, regardless of where the model originates from.
Yes. Joanne, are you okay with that? I mean, we will get to this.
Yeah, we are. I'm okay. Just make sure. The one I just give you a note, right? The SDNC get into the Yen model, right, from Nikon Yen with O1 interface. That one has, it's done by the, you can leverage it, one of the use cases. And I think the Illumina did that use case. So basically you can bring that use case, the idea to injection to your development, use that code to the CNPS. So this existing use case for the color Nikon Yen model in the use case.
Yeah. So that's more of an impact on the controller than it is an impact on the CPS.
Yeah, great, yes.
They have to have an interface. So it is a larger use case than what I'm hoping to take on the proof of concept. But that use case would definitely be enabled by the exposure of an interface that we will develop in the proof of concept. To say you will be able to add a load to add a model to the CPS.
Right.
So the controller will be able to do exactly that, to retrieve a model from the XNF and then store it.
So this idea.
And subsequently add data on read data.
So this is will be the part of your basic scope too, right? Just a clarification, right?
The basic scope is to be able to add a model to the CPS.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't, not part of the basic scope is to modify or change the controller source code in any way. That is not part of the basic scope unless we explicitly want to put it in there. But then somebody has to resource that.
Because basically, all the data storage will come from Nikon Yen model O1 interface. So that one, you may not even consider, normal data flow, right? Say just put the data Nikon Yen to the CNPS. Then you can change it, like MarkD can do a little bit later. I think the one that really the CNPS basically storage for the network element. I'm sure for the from network YAML model will be a little bit the structure wise should be the same as onboarding from SDC, but I'm not quite sure. You can double check on this.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, whether it comes via a vendor package onboarded via FTC, then through DMAP, the thing that the CPS cares about is that it gets a document written in Yang that describes a model. And it doesn't care if that comes in option C directly from an application, or in option B via a controller, which is using an interface, a standard interface against the XNF to retrieve that model and then give it to the CPS, or if it's coming via the vendor package. It doesn't care. As long as at this point, this entry to the CPS, it is given a document that is written in Yang that represents the model. And that's mm-hmm. the part that we need to prove. And these mm-hmm. three different things are not at the moment part of the scope of the proof of concept. We can add them, but then we have to resource them. And I think we have a lot to take on just to make sure that we have this interface, being able to accept a new model, to remove a model, and to upgrade a model. I think that is in itself quite a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't think we have time today to do justice for any issues. So unless Ben, I can hand back to you.
Yeah, sure.
Someone has a question on this.
Sure.
Next, maybe we can take some kind of standing orders on the agenda. But unless
we could. Tony, I know we won't have time to take a decision, but we could at least go into issue one there and show the slide that we've added so people can read about that. And then maybe the next time we have time to make a decision.
Okay, so this is the slide that caused all the contention last week. Tuan, do you want to take over? Because there's no point in you sharing at this stage, but you.
Yeah, no, you can leave it. Yeah, you can leave it open. I changed the top slide slightly just to clarify, because if you want to scroll up a little bit again, to clarify that the Temple API is still there. That warning wasn't in there. And then if you scroll down to the next slide, so basically we try to visualize the different use cases of how we can use the different APIs if we have two existing APIs. So we just flesh that out, that option a bit further. So we have the traditional CM application that's only interested in the current state and only interested in this common CM data, and it will only use the current API that we've proposed there. Now, even if he's using the current API, as we can see the dotted line there in the middle, if it's so modeled, certain attributes might automatically changes to those attributes, and we talked about that before, might automatically be passed on to the Temple API so that the Temple database implementation is aware and has a record of these changes over time. So that's an automatic part of it, well, a model-driven part of the current API. But the traditional CM application is not aware of that and is not interested in that. Then client two there is kind of an application that has some interest mainly in current CM data, but might want to be interested, okay, over time, how did this parameter change? And based on that temporal data, it might have some algorithm that uses that temporal data to make a decision. So that's kind of a hybrid application that will use both APIs. And then finally, we have applications, client three there, that are all very specific, have their own very specific data that's not really common CM data that they want to store in a temporal fashion. So this could be something like log entries, and I made up kind of an example there of a utilization probe where we store the number of users currently
attached to a certain application or something like that, and then this kind of type of application could just use just the temporal API to store that API, store that temporal data, and query instances or temporal kind of aspects of that data that it itself stored. So as I said, this is just to elaborate the option C that we're proposing, and maybe next week we can come back to this and make a decision between the three options, which is the preferred option that we want to use in the POC. Is there any questions on this slide so far? I know we don't have much time left, but people can maybe read on it in their own time after this meeting.
Yeah, looks good.
Ben, just to clarify the numbering that was there, I'll update the table again. That was a bit of a priority numbering as well. So I do want to put the number and
priority there, yeah.
Yeah, I'll do that, and I'll also keep your topic and I'll update it with your slides.
So good, So what I did was I created a little table just now for the topic areas, so it's kind of clear the different areas relating to the topics. I gave it a little description.
Okay, very good.
Feel free to update that. And I think if they'll probably go to this page first, and then I go to here, it just focuses the discussion. So I also added the updated roadmap to our project page. I've also updated it to the project proposal page as well. And I've also just uploaded the updated slides in case you want them. Here, so those are July 10th slides. And also, Tony, maybe we need to take a first crack at this. We need to fill this stuff out, which is hopefully pretty straightforward, but we probably don't need to take everybody's time to do that. Maybe if you and I or Joanne, I think we can probably just do this by email, just kind of update stuff and then go back and forth by email. And most of this is pretty straightforward, I think, but we need to get this filled out too. Okay. We're at time, guys. We're over time. Any final thoughts from anybody? What do we want to start talking about next time? Maybe the architecture options, of course.
Just to go through the issues list.
Right.
And if people want to add issues, then they can add them there and flesh them out. And
it sounds to me like there's two issues that are ready for discussion that need to be addressed because there's wide interest in them. I thought Theodore or somebody was mentioning.
What were the issues?
That's the interface style and the data representation.
And I guess from what I'm hearing, Tony and Twan, you would appreciate that if people would add comments and so on the pages themselves between now and next week so we can streamline the discussion.
Yeah, that would be great.
I mean, let's be collaborative, please.
Sounds good. Okay, great. Thanks, guys. We're at time. Thank you, everybody, for joining. I hope you found this useful.
Thanks,
I think we made a lot of progress. Thanks. Bye.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.